You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a WPR reporter tells us about the latest efforts to stop the spread of chronic wasting disease in the state's deer herd and how deer farms fit into that story. First, the search for answers continues in the death of a 13-year-old Milwaukee girl who was shot while inside her home last week. Authorities say Sandra Parks was in her bedroom Monday evening when bullets came through her window. Two men have been charged in her death. The motives remain unclear. 2 years earlier, Sandra wrote about Milwaukee's gun violence in an award-winning essay commemorating the life of Martin Luther King Jr. She read an excerpt of it on Wisconsin Public Radio's The Kathleen Dunn Show in January of 2017.
We Shall Overcome has been a lost in lies of who we are, who we have become. We need to rewrite our story so that faith and hope for a better tomorrow is not only within us, but we believe it and we put it into action. Our first truth is that we must start caring about each other. We need to be empathetic and try to walk in other people's shoes. We shall overcome when we begin to understand and accept others. We shall overcome when we eliminate the negative and nasty comments people make about each other. We shall overcome when we love each other and people around us.
The voice of Sandra Parks on the Ideas Network in 2017. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Sandra is at least the fifth Milwaukee child fatally shot inside a home in the last 4 years by gunfire that broke out outside. She was also the city's 91st homicide victim this year. Reggie Moore is the director of the City of Milwaukee's Office of Violence Prevention. Reggie, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, question, of course, on people's minds is why does something like this happen? I understand there's not a motive, but as a city official who's working to stop gun violence, what is your reaction to something like this happening?
I mean, whenever we lose a child or anyone in our city as a result of violence, you know, it is something that's disturbing. It's something that, you know, we're committed to preventing, that the mayor is committed to preventing, but we have to look at it holistically. I think, you know, people, you know, obviously want a quick, you know, answer to violence, but understanding that there's a lot of complex factors that contribute to violence. And so, you know, while working on an individual level, we also have to work on a systemic level when we look at, you know, high rates of concentrated poverty, over-incarceration, all of these factors that lead to, you know, individuals carrying firearms, using firearms, whether intentionally or recklessly, and obviously endangering the lives of children and adults in our community.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett spoke to reporters about gun violence in the city. Here's a part of what he had to say.
It's just insanity. You're never going to solve a fight with a gun. You're never going to settle a score with a gun. But you see it over and over and over again in this country. And that's what's so mind-boggling, is it's in this country that we see it over and over again. And we don't have leadership at the national level. We haven't had leadership at the state level that say we're going to address this issue.
As you said, there's a lot going on, Reggie. What would you want to see, before we turn to what you're doing there in Milwaukee now, what would you want to see from the state or national leadership that might help you there in Milwaukee?
I mean, there definitely has to be policy changes. I mean, fundamentally, literally, you had children with the March for Our Lives who literally, you know, were crying and marching and rallying in D.C. and have been traveling throughout the country since the Parkland shooting, calling for policies and universal background checks. The federal, you know, government, federal leaders have to listen to the voices of young people who've been impacted by this issue, and not just in school shootings and mass shootings, but the everyday carnage that we see around the country. And at a state level, there has to be an increase in resources for prevention. And so that is something that, you know, on a local level, when we talk about, you know, permitting cities to be able to secure the necessary revenue and resources to be able to fund things like the Blueprint for Peace and efforts and the strategies that are called for in it is critical.
Talking to Reggie Moore, director of the City of Milwaukee's Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun violence in the city, in part because of the death of Sandra Parks, a 13-year-old shot in her own bedroom, bullets through a window. Reggie, let's talk about that blueprint for peace now. As I understand, this came about after 2016, gun violence, gun deaths had peaked in the city. They've come down a little bit since then. But what kind of initiatives did you start off then?
Right. And just a point of clarity, it was 2015 that this fight happened. And it wasn't just in Milwaukee. It was several similar sized cities around the country. And it's been a spike that, you know, researchers have been trying to explain. There's no definitive, you know, answer as to why that spike happened, but, you know, several different theories. But one of the things that the city did was ask itself a sobering question, is what are we going to do about it? And it's hard to answer that question without a plan. And so in 2016, we engaged as many residents in the city of Milwaukee from a range of different backgrounds and experiences, but particularly centering folks that have been directly impacted by violence to really say, what are the strategies that we should be engaging in to prevent violence and to also help individuals and communities heal once violence has occurred? And so that's really what the blueprint calls out. And so its DNA is basically 6 goals and 30 strategies that do just that. And so it includes everything from looking at economic development, youth and family development, also looking at restorative justice. And so everything in terms of thinking about all of the things that we should be investing in to increase the protective factors that could protect a community or a family from violence are the things that investment is needed. And then we look at risk factors as well that the community prioritize, looking at segregation, looking at high rates of unemployment, looking at the eviction crisis and housing. And those are the risk factors that need to be addressed so that people don't engage in violent crime for matters of either survival or the street economy and things like that we know significantly contribute to gun violence. So it's a blueprint that not just deals with gun violence, but it deals with the intersection of different types of violence. So it talks about child abuse and sexual assault. It talks about domestic violence. When we understand that in the state of Wisconsin, 40% of gun homicides are domestic violence related. So we can't just look at violence in isolation or one type of violence. We have to look at the intersection of all forms of violence, including policy, because disinvestment in certain communities or neighborhoods or disinvestment in youth development programs are all forms of violence inflicted on communities that create conditions that we see create, you know, what we're seeing in Milwaukee and cities like it around the country.
I've seen you quoted talking about the importance of mentors for youth, especially in places with higher rates of violence. What kinds of things can mentors do?
Right. And one of the things that, because the blueprint is very comprehensive, so sometimes people, you know, have a lot of questions once they read through it. And one of the things that I tell people is, number one, of the 30 strategies in the blueprint, some of them are being implemented. Many of them actually are being implemented. The question that we have as Office of Violence Prevention, taking it from a public health approach, is saying, are we prioritizing the populations and the places where these strategies are being executed? So, and there are also strategies in the blueprint that are not being executed. And one of them is mentoring of children who have incarcerated parents. So when you look at the high rate of incarceration, particularly of African Americans in Wisconsin, and you look at in terms of the supports for the young people in those families, you literally have an adult who's been, you know, forcibly displaced from that family and leaves a void. And so one of the things that, you know, although we know that children are being served by youth programs, but their explicit needs and the trauma of losing a parent, whether it be to homicide or incarceration, has a significant impact. And so really wanting to prioritize and work with partners like the new effort called Mentor Milwaukee and Big Brothers Big Sisters and NPS and saying, is there an opportunity here to actually create specific programming that supports, you know, this population of young people so that we can break the cycle both of incarceration but also of violence and trauma?
I know for people looking in at Milwaukee from the outside, they might not see a lot of the what's going on at the community level, local neighborhoods organizing or local neighborhood organizations. I've talked to some people doing that. Can you talk about what kind of things are happening at that super local level?
Right. There's a lot happening. And literally the blueprint, we call it the plan for the people, by the people. And, you know, thousands of residents were involved in this process, including young people. And so even, you know, highlighting this summer when we had the spike in homicides in August, you know, we called the community together and residents from, again, all walks of life, young people, old people, you know, and everyone in between to say, look, you know, we understand that law enforcement has a job to do. And obviously they're working to try to find, you know, the folks and hold them accountable. But what can we do as residents to really also, you know, help and support families who've experienced or been touched by the homicides that have happened? And what can we do to try to shift the culture and the narrative in the community. And so over 130 people came together through every week over the month of August. And in between those meetings, because the meetings were really used to plan the actions. And so it was a lot of outreach that occurred, helping families in terms of organizing vigils and providing counseling supports to the children and adults in those families. Also partnering with groups like Guns Down Milltown, which is a grassroots effort that was developed by a local artist, where we helped fund billboards and bus shelter ads to really promote the message of peace in the city. We currently have a ad campaign called We Live Here to really highlight what does it mean to live in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, people have ideas and visions of what it means to fail or die here, and we want to flip that narrative and that reality to say, no, we need to have a vision of what it means to live and thrive here. And that's what the blueprint calls us to do. And, you know, the community has definitely stepped up, and I think has always stepped up. I think, you know, what we have to ask ourselves now is we have a public policy document developed by the community to say this is what we should be doing to reduce violence. And now the question is on leadership to say, are we going to invest the policies and resources to honor what the community has told us needs to be done?
It's a good place to leave it. Reggie, thanks for joining us today.
No, thank you.
Reggie Moore is director of the City of Milwaukee's Office of Violence Prevention. We talked with him about the deadly shooting of 13-year-old Sandra Parks last week and anti-violence efforts in the city.